The following is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900CHML.
Hello, everyone. This is Rob Golfy with RE/MAX, the Golfy team. Welcome to the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition, with host Rick Samprin.
Yes, good morning. It's 900CHML. We love having all of you with us here today as we talk about some of the biggest stories in real estate. You know the numbers to call. Well, if you don't, if you're new to the show, hey, welcome to the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition. Rob Golfy is the top dog with the number one RE/MAX team in Canada. That's the Golfy team. 905-575-7700 is the number to call if you want to sell your house or you're thinking, you know what, I'm in the market to sell and, of course, buy another home. 905-575-7700. The website is robgolfy.com. That's Rob, G-O-L-F-I.com. And if you're on your smartphone right now or tablet or you got that laptop in front of you, head over to TikTok or Instagram, Facebook, X, you name the social media site. The Golfy team is dominating it with some amazing listings, some cool content as well. And listen, if you have a topic idea or a question you'd like to ask Rob or his team, send them an email. Questions@robgolfy.com is the email address. Again, that's questions@robgolfy.com. We'll gather up all the email and address it on a future program. Pretty cool topics we're going to get to today, including a couple of homes in Hamilton, once in Stony Creek, once in Hamilton proper, that sold for a huge loss after a number of failed attempts to try to sell those homes for a greater price. We're going to talk about the Bank of Mom and Dad. We'll talk about what would-be homeowners or aspiring homeowners are waiting for. But let's begin with some real estate statistic and what is happening in the life of Mr. Rob Golfy.
Well, the real estate board came out with their stats pretty quick this month. So they were saying that, April versus over April of last year, it's down. The unit numbers are 7% fewer than 2023 and well below the long-term trend for the month of April, despite the pullback in sales over the past 2 months. Year-to-year date sales are comparable to those recorded in 2023. So basically, we're on track, and our numbers are on track so far based on the first 4 months of 2023, but April numbers were down, but inventory is climbing. So it's a nice, healthy, stagnant market, and which is very, it's good for the buyers, I think, right now. Sellers, you know, it's worth what it is worth. You're not going to get any more than what the market value is, unless you got, you know, all the bells and whistles done in the house. You'll do well for your house, but the market is, the stats are, you know, showing that everything, what's going on.
Well, it's interesting because there's a 7%, according to the Realtors Association of Hamilton Burlington, as you mentioned, 7% fewer sales in April this year compared to April of 2023. Yet, when you look at the average price, according to the association, in Hamilton, it's $818,000. In the total board, it's just over $900,000, both up 1% and 0.7% respectively. So from a price standpoint, even though fewer homes were sold, they're still selling for a little bit more.
Yes, exactly. And the buyers are being very cautious. They're watching, they know the market. They're the ones with the money, and they're the ones that are, and they're negotiating hard, and the agents are working hard for them to make sure that they're not paying too much for the house. And that's the way it should be, because I think our full correction was done November, December, and partial of January, November, December last year, and partial of January this year. So now it's just kind of hovering, and it's just going nice, chugging along very nicely, which is a good time for buyers to come in. There is a more inventory than there was last year. And so that is a good, it's a good point for anybody that wants to get into the market.
I mentioned the price of an average home in Hamilton, Burlington, the area that the Realtors Association of Hamilton, Burlington covers. In Burlington proper, that average sale price last month was $1.15 million, down 0.1%. So basically flatline. So really Hamilton carried the day, as did Niagara North, as is what's referred to with the association, average price of $829,000, which would be, I guess the Grimsby's of the world, St. Catharines, would Niagara Falls be included in Niagara North?
No. The Niagara North for the Hamilton board is Lincoln, Grimsby, and West Lincoln. Uh-huh. It doesn't cover St. Catharines, Niagara Falls, Welland. So actually, that market is pretty good compared to the rest of Niagara. And so when I get the Niagara numbers on there, like when I send out my newsletter, Market Watch, when I hit Niagara, all in Niagara, Grimsby, West Lincoln, and Lincoln's in there with the St. Catharines, Niagara Falls, Welland. Uh-huh. But it's just the way they had to split up the border for real estate boards, and that was that's what they did. Basically, Grimsby, Lincoln is part of the Hamilton board, and then St. Catharines on is part of the Niagara board. But we still sometimes we combine the stats. When I do it, I'll sometimes combine the stats. Like if I'm talking about Niagara in general, when I print it out, Grimsby, Lincoln, and West Lincoln is all part of that Niagara Peninsula included with it.
Average days on market in Hamilton, just shy of 27 weeks, 26.8 weeks, which is a 15% increase from last year at this time. That's not too bad. It's still under a month.
Yeah, you know what? And plus inventory is a little higher. So people are taking, a little longer. They're trying the higher number to see if it'll sell. And then, you know, time goes by and then they reduce it. And then chances are it'll end up selling at the right price after.
New listings also up in April, 2,085 new listings, including in the Hamilton area, 1,500, which is about 1,200, which is about a 33% increase. When you look at that number, 2,085 new listings in April, is that a normal number? Is that a healthy number?
That's I'm like, wow, those are big numbers, because a lot of people are getting, it's a spring market, and people are putting their houses on the market. They're looking at moving, and it is a good, healthy number. There's a lot of inventory out there. But the problem there is a lot of that inventory is overpriced. So eventually those prices will come down. So those houses that are listed in April will probably end up selling in May, sometime in May or the end of May or June. So they have to go through all the, go through the whole aspect of people looking at it and rejecting it until they find, that somebody's willing to buy it at whatever price. They'll do usually a price reduction is done sometimes to get it sold.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned the residential average price in the Hamilton area, $818,000 last month. For a detached home, it's $853,000, which is a pretty healthy price tag, is it not?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's nice when there's the breakdown this from Hamilton, Burlington combined, because when it's combined, it gets to the 900 mark. But yeah, no, it is healthy, I'm telling you. Hamilton is a great city to buy real estate. But it is starting to get expensive. A lot of people are coming out this way, so it just it's tough. I know. I just looked at this morning, and I had a guy that was looking for something under $750,000 on the Hamilton Mountain. There was 46 detached listings on the Hamilton Mountain under 750. So, which is, that's pretty healthy. That there's a lot to choose from out there. And, there's still good deals out there. And that's just one area of Hamilton that I did. Now you can go down to Lower City, East End, West End, and Stony Creek. We know Ancaster is a little tough to find anything under 750, but, and also Dundas, but there are affordable homes out there. You just got to go out there and work hard and negotiate a good deal and see what you can get.
That's $750, very close to the average price on the mountain right now. Mm-hmm. April 2024 average price was $772,599. Oh, almost at $750.
Yes, exactly. This week I had my phone. I dropped it too many times. I probably dropped my phone at least once a day. So eventually it got rattled enough inside that I needed to get a new screen. I couldn't see anything. So for almost less than 24 hours, I had to get my phone fixed and got that fixed. And I was talking to the guy at the place that fixed my phone. He said, how's the market? And I said, no problem. I said, he wanted to see what was available. I said, listen, I said, the Hamilton Mountain is a great area to own a house. You'll build a lot of equity. There's always demand for it. And I said, I'll send you, I'll send you homes that are 750 and under, and call me if there's anything you see you like, and we'll get you into them. And that's where the hub is. Like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, it's a great area. I mean, I like, if somebody asked me, where's the areas that should I buy? Like the East End, Stony Creek, Hamilton Mountain. I'm not discrediting the other areas. It just depends on who you are and mm-hmm. where you want to go. But if you're not sure of the area that you want to move to, I'm going to tell you, where the best place for you to start, so that you don't end up in a place in central Hamilton and say, hey, I wouldn't have moved in this neighborhood, right? Because those neighborhoods change from street to street. Like, you got St. Clair Avenue, which has got big, beautiful homes. And then you got one block over, one street over, and it's, they're rundown homes. So you got to be very careful when you're downtown. So if somebody doesn't live in the area, you want to make sure you get them in the right area, so there's no disappointments. And then he can judge himself which direction he wants to go after that. But for somebody new that's moving into the city, you got to be very, very careful where you place them to move to, because you don't want to have them very upset moving in, and it's just it's going to be stressful on their lives. And that's the last thing I want to do, is put stress on someone's life moving into the house and dealing with whatever they have to deal with on whatever street they deal with.
Yeah, it's a stressful situation in and of itself. I remember when my wife and I were looking at homes in the city, and we thought, you know what, the mountain's a great place to be because there's so many different options: bungalows, two-story homes, different subdivisions, older homes, newer homes. There's so many different options on the mountain in comparison to the other areas of the city.
Absolutely. And that's why the Hamilton Mountain, when somebody's coming in, doesn't know the city, I always say, go to the Hamilton Mountain. Unless they specifically want older homes,
right,
or whatever, then we'll try different parts of the city.
Rob has a story coming up next about a big price drop. And we also have a couple of other examples of some failed attempts to sell homes because, well, it just wasn't priced right. That's coming up next on the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML.
You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
Welcome back. This is the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML. My name is Rick Samprin. Pleased to be joined once again by Rob Golfy, sales representative with RE/MAX Escarpman Realty, the Golfy team. If you want to sell your house or you're looking to buy a home, call the number one RE/MAX team in Canada. That's the Golfy team, 905-575-7700, online at robgolfy.com. That's Rob, GOLFI.com. And if you're thinking about selling your home and you're wondering, how much would my home go for? Well, go to golfyhomevalue.com. Again, that website is golfyhomevalue.com. Plug in some information and you'll get a pretty good idea of what your home could go for when you put that Golfy Gets It Sold for Sale sign on your lawn. Still to come on the show, the Bank of Mom and Dad. Is it dried up, or are kids still asking their parents for a handout or at least a loan when buying a home? We'll get to that in a few minutes. But you have a story, Rob, of a price drop. What happened?
Yeah, so I listed this property, and I said to the there were two sisters, it's an estate sale, and I said to them, I go, look, $550 is the right price for this house. Now the two sisters, they both have different opinions. One is agreeing to the price that I suggested. The other one says, no, we want to go $600. So the one sister that said we should go $550. She's accommodating the other sister and saying, okay, let's try it. No problem. So we've been on the market for probably just over 2 weeks, and we only really didn't have that many showings. It's a bungalow and three bedrooms. It's got a garage. Very nice house. Same owners for probably 40 years. So I discussed, I said, listen, I think you should put the price that I suggested at $550. So the one sister talked to the other sister and they said, well, can we bring it down to $580? And I said, no. I said, let's just leave it the way it is, because the buyers that are looking at it, if they see the price drop at $580, it's the same price point. We're not going to get any other buyers looking at it.
Right.
And I said to make an impact on the listing in the marketplace, $550, then you will end up getting a different pool of buyers that are looking up to 550. Right now, the same pool that is looking at 600 will be looking at the 580. There will be no change in showings or whatever whatsoever. And if it was worth 580, we probably would have had an offer at that price already. So it's better just to leave it and say, listen, when you're ready, put it at the 550. And chances are they may end up getting more than 550. Like, because that's the right price for that house that in that area. But you know, we always try to get more, and I have no problem doing that. When I meet with a client, I say, here's my suggested price that we put on the market. And then I ask them, what number did you have floating around that you felt? And everybody gives their opinion on their number. And I said, well, do you want to go with the 550 or do you want, or what price are you thinking? So they, you know, sometimes they say 600. I said, no problem. But I let them know in advance that I'll be talking to them doing a price adjustment in 2 to 3 weeks after the house is listed. So it's not a surprise. I'm not going to go to them saying, hey, yeah, 600. I know I can get you 600. Mm-hmm. So sign here on a dotted line. I don't operate that way. I'll say, hey, we could try the 600, but you do understand that 550 is my suggested price. And what happens is 2-3 weeks, it makes it easier to deal with them because they said you did say that 550 was the number.
Yeah.
Now, I know a lot of agents, sometimes they'll give a high inflated price just to get the listing, and we lose those sometimes, but we get the call back. We've got one on, in Grimsey. They're giving us a call back. We were there. They had this agent there. They gave them a high number and they realized that was a big mistake and they want us to put it at the price that we suggested, before this other agent listed. But it is a factor. Your best buyers do come in the first 2 weeks of your house being on the market. Now, if you're only getting 4 showings in 2 weeks and your house is in the price point that there's a lot of first time buyers looking, and you need to do an adjustment on price. Now, $20,000 is not going to be a significant price adjustment that's going to draw people to put an offer or even look at this house. So that's why I said to my client, I said, let's just keep it at the $600 for now. And then we can do the price adjustment when you guys are ready to do the 550. Because I don't want to end up chasing the market. Because if we end up dropping it to 580, then they're going to probably drop it to 560, then 550. Do you know they'll end up getting a lot less than the 550 mark? They'll probably end up getting 530, 535, which I know I can get them 550 for this house. So I just don't want them to ruin that getting them that much money. So that's why I suggested we stay where we at. When they're ready to do the 550, boom, and then we'll get it done and we'll get it sold for that price or possibly more. It just depends on markets change week by week and month by month. So it just depends when they're ready to do that.
So when those drops happen, you know, it starts at 600, they wanted to go to 580, you know, and if you agreed to that, you know, suddenly they're at 560 and then 550 and they're getting lower than what you were originally were projecting for them to get. Is that because everyone in the market who's looking for a house is saying, oh, that house went down again. Oh, look at that. It went down again. And then when it comes to them potentially bidding on that house, they're going to look at the history of all these price declines and that'll factor into their decision. Is that basically what happens?
Well, usually the agents will see the history, and the agents, good agents, will understand that they're getting to the right price. Mm-hmm. But the consumer sees it, they because they're looking and they say, oh, I see that house is now at this price. Oh, yeah. I see that it's at that price. So you're hurting yourself because it's going down slowly and it's not a significant jump. And when it goes down slowly, you're chasing the market. And then once you get it down to the price that you suggested, everybody knows about it and nobody's really caring about to look at it because they think, yes, maybe something's wrong. Really, it's not the case. And then you wonder why. I remember my grandmother, like 26 years ago, when my grandmother was selling her house, I said, we should list this house at $98,000. This is, you know, and it was in Niagara Falls. And they wanted 120. We did the whole price drop, chasing the market. And I said to my grandmother, I said, you know, like, you will get close to that price, but we didn't get it. We ended up getting under 90,000 for that house.
Wow.
And it's because we chased the market and it wasn't good. And I told my mom, I said, as Seema, I told you, this is what's going to happen. You got to listen. And you know what I mean? And my grandmother wasn't too happy, but she, you know, she just says, I understand that's the way the market is. Mm. Like, basically what she accepted. So you got to be very, very careful. Like when I go in, I spell it all out. I say, if we take this route, this is what's going to happen. We take my route. Listen, you'll never undersell a house in a market. The only time, and I'll tell you, in my entire career, that the market was really bad. Well, obviously when, in 2022, after the, starting in May to the end of 2022, the market was coming down, and then it kind of stabilized. But the worst market I've ever seen, and it was dormant. The market was dormant. Well, that was last year. In the last 4 months of last year, the market was so dormant. It, like, you know what? You walk in, even if you had the right price, you weren't selling it. And I told people, don't even bother changing your price. Let's just try to get this thing. If they had the time to wait to get their house sold in the spring, I said, hang in there. But if they didn't and they had to sell, I mean, they were losing $100,000 or more on their sale price, depending on the price point of the house. And so you got to be very careful. The thing is, we do sell a lot of homes, and I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just saying that to press upon you. We know the market better than most realtors and most teams out there. And the more knowledge you have, as a team or a realtor, the better you can give the experience and information to your client. And that's what we have. We have information that a lot of people don't have. And that information is based on current, like today. I can tell you what's going on today. I can tell you what went on 2 days and 3 days ago. A lot of realtors can't do that. They sometimes call me and ask me what is going on in the market. And I will give them my expertise. They'll say, here's what's going on. Tell your client to hang in there because the market just went silent this week, or the market is picking up and you're not getting action. You better do a price adjustment because the market is doing really well.
You mentioned this phrase earlier, something's wrong. Is that the worst thought in the world from a home buyer perspective or home seller perspective? Because you're dropping the price. People out there are thinking, well, something must be wrong with this house for the price to continue to drop. And that is a feeling in the market that you cannot change.
No, you can't change that. But realtors know that's not the case, but consumer does.
Yeah.
The consumer feels that. And so it's up to the realtor to explain to the consumer, nope, they just finally got their house to the price point where the market is willing to pay.
Interesting stuff. All right, let's switch gears and kind of stay on the same wavelength in terms of trying to sell a home and things just not working from a price perspective. So there is a home in Hamilton that back in January of 2022 was a three-bedroom, two-bathroom bungalow in the Huntington neighborhood that sold back in January 2022 for $981,000. It's a 1,000-square-foot home, had multiple renovations, including a new front exterior door, updated plumbing, electrical, so it was done up pretty good. Just a few months after it sold, again, this is back January 2022, it was relisted for $1.225 million in July of 2022. But after a short time, that was nixed. It was terminated. There was no buyers. A month later, put back on the market for just shy of 1.2. Again, no takers, no bites. The home eventually was relisted for $1.279 million in April of 2023, 1 year ago. And again, 2 months went by, no one bought it, it was terminated again. September 2023, massive price slashing, $879,000, still no takers. November 2023, relisted for a sixth time at $889,000, sat on the market for months, and again terminated this past January. Finally, relisted again this past February, $689,000, and it sold over asking, $720,000, but that was $260,000 less than what the original sell price was back in January 2022 of $981,000, and a whopping $505,000 lower than the $1.225 million when it was originally relisted. What a roller coaster, Rob. A lot of downs on this roller coaster.
Yeah, yeah. They took a beating, and obviously they bought the house, and for some reason they needed to sell, and they needed to sell fast. So I don't know if they paid cash for this house, because there's a difference. What is it, from $981,000 what they paid based on versus $720,000? Mm-hmm. They lost a lot of money. Like, I mean, like, if they had to go in with 20%, they lost their down payment.
Yeah.
And so they, like, yeah, and they're not the only ones that have been through this. There's a lot of people that have been through this. They bought right at the peak, and then they ended up having to sell a year or 2 years later. But notice how at the September and November of 2023, mm-hmm. nothing was happening. That's when the market was dormant. I could have told them that. I said, just, hey, listen, you're not going to sell your house. Just go on vacation if you can afford to go on vacation, because they're going to be losing a lot of money. But I feel sorry for these people, and there's a lot, and they're not the only ones, Rick, that are going through this. Mm-hmm. People are losing money like you would not believe, because they got caught up into that frenzy of buying a house and getting into the multiple offer situation and overpaying. Like, I'll look at this house and say, wow, they're asking they paid $981,000 for it. I'm like, oh my, like, there's no way, like, yeah. There's no way that house is worth that price. And, I feel sad for these people, but obviously they could afford to lose $260,000. They must have had to pay cash for it. They needed to get out for some reason. And there's a lot of people like that. And right now, a lot of those people, if they bought in end of 2021 and beginning of 2022, they paid high. I mean, their mortgages will be coming due next year, and it's going to be tough, because they got big mortgages and they may not be able to afford it. So some people have to get out fast and sell them, and they're going to be taking the loss. I mean, I could have been one of those people that bought at that time, and then I would just have. And the only thing you do is you hang on to it, and then let the market ride out, and it'll catch up to it. It will catch up to it. It may take 3 to 5 years, but it will. And then you're back on track. You've saved your equity. But if you can't hang on to it and you need to sell, you're going to lose a lot of money, and that hurts. And a lot of people have been going through that.
Anyone who lost track of all those listings and relistings, so there were 6 of them in that one case, and it also kind of happened at a home in Stony Creek, a 4-bedroom home, in which it tried and tried again, 6 failed attempts to sell, and at the end of the day, sold at a staggering $500,000 loss. And if you think it's just happening in Hamilton, you would be incorrect. There is a home in Burlington's LaSalle neighborhood that sold at a $700,000 loss after, again, so many times trying to get a buyer on board, and it was just not happening. So not just in Hamilton.
No, Burlington. We had one in Burlington late last year, and it sold for $950,000. That house should have sold for over $1 million, $1.05 million, like $100,000 more, or even $150,000 more than it should have. It's just the way the market was. Bad timing in selling. But what are you going to do? Like, they had to sell. There was no choice. And we were just working and working it. And finally, one guy came in and says, here's my price, and I'll close in less than 30 days, take it or leave it. And we said to the clients, what do you want to do? And they go, we got to take it. We got to get out of this situation. I mean, if they hung on for another 2.5 months, maybe 3, they probably would have had another $150,000 more in their pocket. But who knows? I knew that the market was going to change because the same thing happened a year prior in Burlington. So I think, okay, well, you know, it looks like it's going to repeat itself. And it did. It did. And now Burlington's climbing right back up again. And those people could have, waited. If they waited, they would have did a lot better.
Yeah. When we come back, the Bank of Mom and Dad, is there any funding left over? We'll talk about that next on the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML.
You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
Welcome back to the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML. Rick Samprin with Rob Golfy, sales representative, RE/MAX Siskartman Realty, the Golfy team. They're the number one RE/MAX team in Canada. Yeah, that's the Golfy team. Call them today to get your home sold for top dollar, 905-575-7700. Online at robgolfy.com. That's robgolfy.com. Check them out on Facebook and X, Instagram and TikTok. And if you have a question or a topic idea for the Golfy team, send them an email, questions@robgolfy.com. We'll get to it on a future program. We have from time to time talked about the Bank of Mom and Dad. And apparently, I did not know it was to this degree in Toronto, but 27% of the co-ownership rates in Toronto, that is the co-ownership rate, 27% in Toronto, and nationwide, it's 17%. I did not know, Rob, that so many homes in Toronto were co-owned by parents and their kids.
Wow. I know. When I read that, I didn't realize it was that high also, but there is no choice. They need that help, you know, for them to get approved. And Toronto is very expensive, and who knows what it is in Vancouver. But the one thing is, even rent people, like kids that are renting in Toronto right now, parents are subsidizing the rent for them in order to stay in Toronto. So I know a friend of mine, he's basically paying half the rent for his kids to stay in Toronto, to work in Toronto, so they can have a decent, you know, life in Toronto. At least they can go for a coffee at night, you know, and just enjoy life. But he's paying partial of the rent. And that's not just, you know, with, you know, signing on a dotted line to buy a house, but also with the rent, because these are kids that were born in the 90s. They don't qualify to buy a house a lot of the times to afford the house, and they need a co person on there. Either they live together or they need the parents to help out, and it's going to continue like that even more. Like these numbers climbed quite a bit probably in the last 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, without question. And Toronto's not the only one in here. Vancouver, Guelph, and Oshawa also had co-ownership rates with parent and children over 20%. Halifax was at the low end at 9.1%, and Winnipeg is in at about 14%. We don't have Hamilton numbers, but I would guess that, I don't know, maybe how many co-ownership deals do you guys do?
There's quite a few. I would say Hamilton would be close to probably Guelph or even Oshawa.
Yeah.
I would say it'd be pretty close to those numbers. There's a lot of times that we sit down with clients and they, you know, and their parents have to co-sign. And sometimes, you got to be very careful too. If you get the wrong mortgage person approving you and says, no, you don't need a parent, and then a week or two before closing, the mortgage person says, oh, sorry, you do need a parent. If that parent is not expected or didn't even know there had to be in the equation, sometimes that could kill a deal and cause a lot of problems for that young person, because the mortgage person said you don't need a co-signer, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden last minute you do need it. It causes a lot of problems in the family. So you better make sure you get the right mortgage person approving you to make sure there's nothing that doesn't happen. And I know a story like that where a lady, she got a mortgage broker she went to, and he said, you need a co-signer. She went to one of the five banks. Maybe the guy wasn't as experienced, said, no, you don't need a co-signer. 2 weeks prior or a week prior to closing date, that bank said, you need a co-signer. So the mortgage person, the mortgage broker that she went originally was right. So you got to make sure you get a good experienced mortgage person that's going to approve you, so that you do not get stuck last minute asking a parent or family member to co-sign on something and you just shock them. Make sure it's all pre-planned, everything's all on the table months before, not 1 week before.
That's great advice. The other thing too, and I think this is why I believe most parents would say, yeah, let's do this, co-sign with their kids, is because at the end of the day, this is going to be a huge asset for that child who years down the road is going to have equity and maybe one day will be in a similar position with their children.
Absolutely. But the one thing you got to be very careful about when you're co-signing a mortgage with your kids is that it could hurt you buying something else. It could hurt you buying a cottage and say, hey, sorry, you got your own house with a mortgage. You got your kid's house with a mortgage. We're not going to give you a mortgage on the cottage because you got a lot on the line. So you got to be very, very careful when you do sign a co-sign for a house or a mortgage for your kids. You're not going to get stuck not buying something that you want for yourself.
That's a good point. If you want to sell your house or you're on the market to buy a home, maybe with your kids or grandkids, call the number one REMAX team in Canada, the Golfie team, 905-575-7700, online at robgolfie.com. Again, that's robgolfi.com. When we come back, we're going to dive into a BMO survey that shows a lot of would-be homeowners are waiting and waiting for a particular reason. We'll share that reason with you next on the Golfie Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML.
You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
And one more go-round here on the Golfie Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML. Rick Samprin with Rob Golfie, sales representative, RE/MAX Escarpment Realty, the Golfie team. They're online at robgolfie.com. That's robgolfi.com. And the number one RE/MAX team in Canada, which is, yes, the Golfie team, is a phone call away at 905-575-7700 if you're thinking about selling your home or you're thinking, you know what, Hamilton would be a good place to put up shop, put down roots, Burlington maybe, Niagara, 905-575-7700. Should not ignore Brantford as well, which we know is a very interesting market too. That number again, 905-575-7700. So Bank of Montreal, BMO, came out with a survey recently that shows 72% of respondents, and nearly three quarters of Canadians, who are eagerly anticipating the chance to buy a home. So these are aspiring homeowners. They're playing the waiting game and they are waiting for the Bank of Canada to drop interest rates. And this comes at a good time because earlier this week on Good Morning Hamilton on 900 CHML, I had a couple of conversations about this, including one with the senior economist at BMO, Sal Gauthier, who said that he's expecting an interest rate cut in June and perhaps by the end of the year, 75 basis points trimmed off the 5% interest rate. Rob, we might see a lot of people looking at these rate cuts finally getting into the market.
My anticipation for the second half of this year is going to be great. My prediction is going to be really good because last year, the second half was not that good. So I know we'll surpass the numbers of last year's numbers, especially the second half. Now, people that are waiting to see when interest rates are coming down, big mistake. You got to get in the market now and try to figure a way to just get a mortgage. I know if you go variable, it's a lot higher, but sometimes short-term pain is long-term gain. But if you're going to wait like till the interest rates come down 0.75 points, you are going to be in a competition again. You're going to overpay for these houses and you're going to say, I should have bought earlier. And I get it. The interest rates make a big difference. They drive the market, but do the opposite of what everybody else is doing. If everybody's jumping into buying, that's when you should be selling. But right now, the market is moderate and balanced and it's quiet. It's moving slowly. Buy now. And I'm not saying that just because I want to sell houses. I'm saying it because it is the truth. Like, wait, when these interest rates start coming down, you're going to start seeing people jumping in, and especially in great areas of the city, Burlington, everything, you're going to start seeing people competing against each other and overpaying, and that's what you don't want to do. So try to find a way to find a house now and then renew your mortgage next year when it's probably 0.75 basis points or 0.1% down, mm-hmm. And then you're good to go.
That's a great plan. And by the way, it's May. So like, you know, June 5th, which I think is the rate announcement day, is not too far off. So listen, if you have this in your mind that you're waiting for interest rates cuts, Call the Golfy team today at 905-575-7700. Start looking for that home now. And you can see a bunch of them online at robgolfy.com. That's Rob, G-O-L-F-I.com. It sounds like, you know, looking at your crystal ball and the prediction and the anticipation that you were sharing, that this fall and winter is going to be drastically different than last fall and winter.
Absolutely. And I'm actually looking forward to it because it's nice to see my numbers go up from last year then down. But it will be drastically different. I do predict that. And I'm telling everybody, other realtors and also the consumer, that the second half of this year, you're going to see more houses sell and prices will do climb a little bit. You'll see year over year that prices will be way better.
Last one. We got about 2 minutes to talk about this. There is a company in Niagara Falls that's been fined, or a developer, I should say, by the Home Construction Regulatory Authority, 26 charges against this individual for basically trying to sell new homes illegally. And they had some, you know, falsified documents. You really got to be careful when you're buying a home.
Oh, no kidding. Like, this guy here was selling homes. He doesn't have, he's not a member of the, new home warranty program. It's called, Ontario New Home Warranty. Mm-hmm. So he was selling homes and people were not getting that new home warranty thing. So, but not only that, but this guy does have a past record of doing illegal things. So, like, I get it. They don't know that when they're looking at houses and everything. They don't know what condition they're in. But now I think these people, if this thing doesn't go through, the people's deposits, I am assuming they would be under home warranty regardless if they paid for it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But if you're buying a brand new house, make sure that there is a new home warranty program that you have to pay. Usually pay that at the lawyer's office on at the time you're signing all the papers, so that you have that. So if there's anything that this builder has done wrong or not, you know, it hasn't followed through, they will go after him. And they'll make sure that it gets done. So be very careful when you're buying a new home. If you don't know who the builder is, look them up. But we know the reputable builders in the areas. Everybody knows through the Hamilton, Halton, Niagara, Brantford regions, even in Toronto. We know the reputable builders. But anybody you don't know, check them out.
Yeah, do your homework. That is a good piece of advice. You can listen to our show online through Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcast, Stitcher, and many more. Just search for The Golfy Real Estate Show in your favorite podcast platform. Don't forget to hit that follow button so you never miss an episode. Thank you, Rob, and thank you for listening to The Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition. We're back next Saturday at 9 on 900 CHML.
The proceeding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.